The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. And I gotta say, good morning, Kermit, one of the best producers in the game. Thank you for that song. I didn't even know you was gonna rock my cherry like that. That's a classic by Bodine Johnson, right? First of all, Bodine Johnson is a Bahamian Teacher of the Year. How phenomenal you gave me to be Teacher of the Year. Plus, she's a phenomenal musician and performer and a culinary artiste, right? But I want to say thank you for that song. Welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. Today is Thursday, the 24th of June, 2021. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the Clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And if I could say so myself, today is my 100th show. And I'm very excited about today, most of all because yesterday I forgot to talk about mangoes. And today on my 100th show, I get to open it up with everything I was supposed to tell you about mangoes yesterday. Now, I'm going to introduce you to my guest, Mr. Christopher Davis, who is an interpreter at the Pompey Museum, right? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bahamas.
Feel free to interject as I talk about mangoes. I promised the people I was going to tell them how to preserve their mangoes and how best to use their mangoes. Because right now, in case y'all didn't know it, this is the best mango season we've had since 2013.
Boy, mango is all over the place.
Listen, a gluttony of mango. I am making up a new word there. In honor of my Jamaican friends. And let me tell you why we honoring my Jamaican friends today. Dear Bahamas, I had my first Bombay mango yesterday. And that's an East Indian mango, right?
Right.
And it's pretty popular in Jamaica.
Right.
To the point where Jamaicans is tease Bahamians, you never had no Bombay though.
Yeah, you won't lie. I know some Jamaicans who was teasing me about that for you, say they got better mangoes than us.
Right. I mean, yeah. They tell a lie. Dear Caricom, you could put that on the record.
Right.
But see, this Bombay mango is grown in the Bahamas, grown in Naughty Lutra. So it have...
Oh, right.
The best of its East Indian origin, right?
Right.
And then it have the best of its Jamaican cultural infusion. Because you know Jamaicans infuse their culture in anything, right?
Right.
And it has the best of the Bahamian limestone sun and salt,
right?
To give you that sweet and that tang.
Tang, right.
So I just super excited. In fact, today I had the pleasure of not just picking up mangoes, but pineapples at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most wondrous time of the year. So anyway, let's get to it. And let me tell you what you could do to preserve or save your mango, or what to do with your mango when you've eaten far too much than you're supposed to eat and you catch the belly and you've given away far more than you could give away, right? So the first thing is this, how to preserve the mango. Well, since ain't nobody bottling mango, did you know you could bottle the mango? If you got a capper, you could bottle mango.
Right? I just know, but people say you put it in the freezer and it's making a nice smoothie. You got it all year round type
and that, of and that little thing. That's the main technique, right? I'm going to tell people right now, go invest in a set, a box of freezer bags, storage bags with the zipper. If you have a little extra income, invest in a set of silicone reusable storage bags, right?
Okay.
So that you could always just wash them and go again. You're going to peel and slice your mango, and you're going to freeze some of it peeled and sliced. Some of it you're going to puree,
right?
You're going to get it in the blender, and you're going to mash it up, and then you're going to freeze that puree. Now, the best way to freeze the puree now is to get your old cereal box and cut the broad side of the box and lay your Ziploc bag on the broad side of the box. When you fill it, it could lay flat. And you could pick it up and lay it flat in the freezer.
Man, that's
so you could freeze it flat pack, right?
Sound like you should be charging for that life hack, man.
Man, listen, I mean, I do have a small company, but that's not the point. The point is Jesus say, love is like a magic penny, right? And the Chikchani say, ideas are like a magic penny. If you hold them tight, you won't have any. And I am a vendor. So I need other people to be storing these products so I could access them later in the year.
Right.
So I want people to know that even if you don't have any intention of making anything with your mango, you still have a viable income-generating mechanism. Because all the bedem who making Kong salad, when the mango season over, and they still want that pop, that bright local mango pop in their Kong salad, you're going to show them how to turn their mango puree into mango pepper sauce to add to their Kong salad to infuse it with that mango flavor, right?
Yeah, that's serious.
If you go and you find yourself some popsicle bags, you're going to store the puree in a popsicle bag. Easier to store, easier to sell, easier to manage because you have it all weighed out. They're all the same size, right? Now, if you're limited on your freezer space, here's what we could do. You make your puree and you could store it in rum. Now you got to do small batches, right? Because the mango is very sensitive and it will change color quickly, right? That's one way. Another way is to dry your mango. Now you got a couple options. If you're fancy, go buy a dehydrator. If you're fancy and bougie like me, go to a thrift store and look for secondhand dehydrators, right? Or go on the interwebs and ask people if they would like to give away a broken or unused dehydrator. You could use your oven with a pilot light. Get parchment paper. Lay it on a flat baking sheet. Turn on the pilot light, right? Or make sure you turn it on its lowest setting and let it sit in there and dry. If you want a project for your children in the summer, you need some scrap wood. You need some mesh, right?
Right.
And some nails and a hammer. And you're going to build a mesh box. So you could lay your mango strips in the mesh box, put them outside in the sun, knowing that your fine mesh is going to stop the flies from getting in to the mango, but still allow the sunlight to come in and dry it. Now, you could go online, you go to YouTube, and you could find all kind of little DIY hacks on how to make solar dryers, right? But that's an easy one. You could get somewhere, you get the reflective material, and you'll make the sun refract off the edge and hit the... That's for y'all parents who doing homeschooling, and you need to do some science courses and physics courses with your children. You're going to build them a solar dryer, and you're going to dry your mangoes out there. So you can make dried mango strips. Or you could take the puree and dry it the same way and make Bahamian fruit roll-up. Mango fruit leather. Dehydrated leather, right?
Yeah.
When you finish with that level, right, you take your puree. Here's what you could do with your puree. You could make lemonade. You could make sorbet. You could make ice cream. You could make pepper sauce. You could make syrup for pancakes. You could make glaze and syrups for cheesecakes and cakes and other pastries, right?
Mango Duffy.
Here's what I'm going to do with my mango. I'm going to mix my mango. I'm going to get the tangiest, sourest mango I could find, and I'm going to mix it with my coconut tart mixture, and I'm going to make me a mango coconut tart. Like ain't nobody ever had, right?
Right.
I mean, there's a ton of things.
You got me hungry on the show now.
You could do it. Listen, I promised the people I was going to tell them what to do with the mango. And here's the thing. People are willing, you know.
Right.
They just need something to spark it off. And there's 100 people right now saying, I didn't remember that. Okay, Aaron, thank you. I gone. Right. I got this, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So you can also make wine out of your mango. And you don't even have to be the best part of the mango. You take in your seed and your scraps, and you're going to put it in a bucket, and you're going to begin the fermentation process.
Right.
You go right online and figure that out. You don't need to buy any, import anything to do this either. You could start with a bucket, some hot water, some yeast, a little bit of sugar, and you're good to go. Now, if, like me, a certain utility company turned your wine empire into a vinegar empire, don't frown, right? Turn that frown upside down, because local fruit vinegar sells better. Hear me, guys. Local fruit vinegar sells better than wine, and it has multiple purposes.
Right.
You can clean with your fruit vinegar, or you can use it to dress your salads or make salad dressings. There's so much you could do with it.
Well, I know people who have gout, you know, they often tell you to take a shot of vinegar, you know, to keep the gout attacks away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be much nicer if it's mango vinegar.
Yeah, much, much nicer.
Than taking that apple cider vinegar.
Right. You know? And you got the mother right there because you're making it yourself.
Right.
Kermit, I see we got a caller on the line. I know this is somebody who want to bless me with some mango. Good morning, caller.
Godly day, this is Sheila Weiss along with you on your guest, Eric.
Good morning, Brayman. How are you doing?
Good morning, sir.
Oh, thank God for what it is, in spite of.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
If the fly excrete on the mash and the breeze blew it on the mango, what happened then?
Boy, boy. What we're going to do is we're going to figure it out.
You're going to figure it out, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
You know something?
Yeah, yeah.
You make a good wife.
Why, thank you, Brayman.
Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Brayman.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir.
But you know, that is a real concern. Thank you, Brayman. Here I am telling you, I be critiquing the government for running the place like a tuck shop.
Right.
You're absolutely right, Brayman. But so here's what I'm going to say to my audience. People have been using this technique for hundreds and hundreds of years. So I don't have the answer to Brayman's question right now, but I know that the answer is out there and we could find it. Right? Plus, the dry fly excrement has never destroyed dried conch.
Nope.
And dried conch has grown up this country.
Right.
Right? Like if there's a standard for who, if there was a test for who is a Bahamian and who is not a Bahamian, what you know about dried conch is the test,
standard.
Right?
Right, that's the standard.
That's the standard. Right. Anyway, thank you very much for that, Brayman. All right, so mango wine and mango vinegar. Like I say, mango vinegar actually sells better is a more high-end product.
Right.
So I ain't finished yet. Hairy mangoes. Now, y'all people out here, we have to have a serious talk about this mango discrimination that is proliferating the country. There's a certain set of people who, for whatever reason, cannot see the inherent value and dignity in a hairy mango. We need to talk about that. It's because it's just ignorance. You just don't know yet. You haven't been blessed with the experiences that many of us have been. Hairy mangoes have the best flavor overall.
I agree 110%. They personally my favorite mangoes. The only bad part is picking the hair out your teeth.
No, that's a good thing.
But for me, exactly as I say, I kind of enjoy that process.
Right, that's a good thing because you're supposed to be flossing and picking your teeth regularly.
And it's almost like a natural floss.
The mangoes say, you don't like to brush your teeth? Roll with me. But the hairy mango has the best flavor. It's like the most concentrated, sweet and sour, tang. And that is what makes a Bahamian mango distinct from other mangoes in the Caribbean.
Right.
They got the best flavors. The trees are prolific and producing the most fruit. So while you may not like the hairy mango for eating, the hairy mango is premium for processing. All your vendors, all your pepper sauce makers, your lemonade makers, like me, we want that hairy mango over the other mangoes. Also, we want the tree that's not necessarily cultivated. The drier it is, the more concentrated the fruit is, right? So don't cut down your hairy mango tree. Don't throw away your hairy mangoes. Find, if you don't have the time or energy to process them yourself, first of all, find some little children in your family. Make them sit down and learn a skill and show them how they could turn that into some money. right? But process them, strain them, right? Get rid of the hair and then make your lemonade or store your puree. Do not throw away the hair, people, because the hair even can be used. I personally make seedling trays out of the hair that we strain from the hairy mangoes. I also add them into my papercrete products. That's where I use paper and cement and concrete to cement to create a lightweight outdoor garden accessory.
Man, you remind me of my mother talking like this. My mother, she always is brag about her and her family. They never throw nothing away and they don't waste nothing.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, I didn't even think about using the hair from the hairy mango for anything practical besides picking it out my teeth after I finish eating it, you know?
Exactly, right? Yeah. Exactly. And so that's just two things. Seedling trays, and the beauty of that is that it will break down naturally, right?
Right.
And with the papercrete products, the hair actually makes the product stronger, but not heavier. The beauty of adding it is that as the paper breaks down, because that product will break down far faster than a normal concrete product,
right,
the mango hair will also break down very quickly as well, right? And so these are all of the things you could do with mango. Mango pancake syrup, mango puree for smoothie, mango puree for lemonade. You see these people, these fancy European people making gazpacho, that's cold soup.
Yeah.
I don't, like your baby is with the cold soup.
Cold soup.
You better give me some mango sorbet in a bowl, miss,
yeah,
right? Mango sorbet. But imagine a beautiful mango gazpacho, right? With mm-hmm. some ceviche, lionfish in the boy, and some little yellow gold pepper spice lacing through it, right?
Right.
Bamians, my loves, this is the beauty that we have in front of us, at our hands. So let me go through the list again. Puree has multiple uses for personal use and for sale to support other vendors, right? Take your puree, take your ice tray, your ice cube tray, freeze your puree in ice cubes. So when you add them to your plain lemonade or your mimosa because you want to be super fancy on New Year's morning, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to add your mango ice cubes. So when they do melt, they don't dilute the drink. They only infuse it with mango flavor, right? Your mango puree is for pepper sauce. It's for syrups. It's for glazes, for your mango cheesecake, right? With your tamarind paste pieces in the middle of the cheesecake. You can make mango wine. You can make mango vinegar. You can make dried mango. You can make mango leather, mango fruit roll-ups, right? There's tons of things you could do. I even haven't even talked about my favorite, and then we can go to a break after this one, people. I make a product. I use white rum to preserve mango because we're in an energy crisis, and to store product in the freezer drives the cost of that product beyond the reach or accessibility of the average Bahamian. So I use rum to preserve my mango, right? Puree.
Right.
But here's what I do as a special treat. I dry the mango in a dehydrator. Then I sit it and soak it in mango-infused rum. And then I take the mango out of the rum and put it back in the dehydrator. And then I dry it out again. And then I keep that for special occasions, right? Yeah. Now, here's what I am saying, dear Bahamas and dear Bahamians, before we go to this break. How, in the name of all that is holy and the spirit of tourism, are we in the Bahamas not serving our high-end guests, the highest end of the beauteousness of the Bahamas? How come in them super high-end suites, right? Like I heard, and this was years ago, people has paid $25,000 a night for one of the rooms in one of these hotels. Mm-hmm. If I was paying $25,000 a night, and I know somebody was making mango passion fruit lemonade or had local mango in locally made rum, I was breaking out. Look here, the concierge is going to have to take me into the inner city to find that.
Yeah.
We are slunking on our tourism product, Bahamians. That's just The mango I was talking about. I even tell you all how you could dry the mango skin and put it in your fish seasoning. Shred it, right? Like, I didn't even tell you yet, that yet. We are slunk in Bahamas. We should be doing it for ourselves. We should be treating ourselves with the finest things. We should be learning how to value what it is we can create and create what it is we value. We should be balling ourselves and then letting tourists engage coincidentally. Oh, you here? You pay plenty of money to come here. Have something nice, man. Right. Be like you.
I think a part of it is, too, of course, you know, and we can touch on some of that later in the show, I'm sure, but we've been conditioned not to value certain aspects of our own culture and to value other cultures, you know, more than our own, particularly, you know, the giant right there to our northwest, you know, America.
Yeah, yeah.
Our biggest blessing, our proximity to them is also our biggest curse, mm-hmm. at least in the modern sense, in my opinion.
I like to call them my big head cousin.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know?
Well, I even think they deserve to be called cousin. I'll call the 40 million Africans and they are cousins for sure.
Well, see, now that's a part of it.
Yeah.
Plenty of them 40 million I related to.
Right.
And for me in this particular instance, right, I have a couple of siblings who have European descent.
Right.
Parent. You know, one parent is European descent.
Right.
So I got a find my way into this space, right?
Right.
But I think of him as my big head cousin to the north that is carry on bad, but forget he can't, ain't nowhere in the world he could get Kong solid but here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're going to get into that as we come back from this break. Kermit, let's roll into that break. You're tuned into On the Clock on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That was the mango expose that I promised you. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some other rites of passages. Right? That's how Bahamians say it. Rites of passages. That's so European. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Follow the strictest safety protocols as guests travel to Exuma, San Salvador, Long Island, and more. With a commitment to keep communities and guests safe and protect the environment, Crystal's decision to home port in the Bahamas will boost tourism and support the local economy. Learn more at crystalcruises.com.
There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes? There comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Sirius Radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation.
The Essentials with Hubert Edwards, Thursday nights live at 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Hello, hello, Africa. Tell me how you doing in Africa. Hello, hello, Africa. Tell me how you doing in Africa. Send me away with a blessing heart.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. As you could tell, I am in a very good mood, and I want to thank Kermit. Wait, Kermit, I remember I made a trip to Zambia. I was traveling for longer than I was in the country. But let me tell you, good morning, Africa. And good morning to the Africa in you. And good morning to everybody in the Bahamas, whether you of African descent or not. Don't watch nothing, you're rolling with us now. So again, good morning to my guest, Mr. Christopher Davies, interpreter at the Pompeii Museum. And I invited Mr. Davies here this morning to talk about Juneteenth, manhood, rites of passage, and African spirituality. Right?
Morning. Excited to be here. And again, you know, just grateful to be on your 100th show. You know, I'm honored to be your guest on this show.
Thank you.
And I hope I do you justice.
Yeah, man, you already did me justice. So a part of the show is inspired by June being Men's Health Month.
Right.
Right? And I wanted to have some conversations about men, create a space for men to talk about the things that they want, for us to ask men questions in a safe space, right? And hopefully where they feel safe enough to answer the questions and to engage. And I thought Juneteenth, manhood, rites of passage, and African spirituality, right? And how important it is for young men of African descent to be able to talk about these things. And whether they identify as Christian or they identify with an African spirituality that we talk a bit about today, they should, at the very least, in a Black majority space, feel comfortable talking about and trying to talk about these things. I mean, many times when people bring up the conversation like manhood, rites of passage, and African spirituality, they say, why are you trying to talk them things, right? Like, why are you heathen or why women try and talk about man? You just want to talk down to us and things.
Yeah.
But I want to do something different, right?
Right.
So for me, like, Mango is if there's a Bahamian rite of passage. So I want to say to all the people who are naturalized Bahamians or want to become Bahamians, when I become the Minister of Immigration, right? One of the things is you're going to have to tell me the history of Mango, right? And unless you're deathly allergic to it, you got to eat a couple Mango in front of me so I can see.
Right? Pass the test, make sure you can trust them.
Absolutely. So let's go into the, I want to go into the right, let's go straight to rites of passage, right?
Right.
As I grow up, very sort of isolated in the sense that I didn't really hang out like with my church family or with my school family.
Right.
I hang out in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And the rite of passage in the neighborhood was, can you pop a wheelie? Can you skateboard?
Right. Yeah.
And could you go up the ramp? Like they had one bad, I was so scared of that ramp. Could you go up the ramp and survive? And survive didn't mean no bruises. Survive meant not running home crying.
Right. You're allowed to cry, but you got to stay and stick it out.
Right. Right. So, and especially if you're a girl, because they don't tell you use a girl, don't do it.
Yeah,
you just can't go crying.
No, right.
But what are some of the rites of passage that you were aware of or that you experienced growing up here?
Well, see, you know, that's an old common saying. You know, they always say you can take the lion out of the jungle, you can't take the jungle out of the lion. Well, it's the same with us. You know, we are Africans for the most part in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can't take it. Certain things that we would always be doing that you can't really take away. For me, the rites of passage in my family, we have actually a quite distinct one.
Uh-huh.
And it's when all the young men approaching, they around 16, 17, 18, you know, when they start feeling themselves a little bit, as you say, they want to go out, they want to do this and that.
Yeah.
All the men, the uncles, you know, the big brothers and all that, we take them to regatta. I ain't gonna call the name of the island, but anyone who know me know which island it is. You take them there, and that's where they experience their rites of passage. You know, when we peer pressure them not to do anything irresponsible, of course, and they're around us, they ain't doing no driving, but we kind of peer pressure them, you know, and it's usually their first time really getting intoxicated and all that stuff, you know, and usually they kind of overdo it, but there's always a lesson behind it, you know what I mean? Do these things, you have your fun, but you do it
responsibly
and all that. Make sure you're around people you trust. Yeah, we can laugh at you and all that, but make sure You know, and it's always better to do these things at home and, you know, that's
with,
all these.
With family.
With family and all that. And then it's always family oriented. We go to our homestead and all that. It's a big historical party too, led by yours truly, of course. You know, so that's like our unofficial rites of passage.
So you personally have evolved your family and communal rites of passage by including a historic element to it.
Right. You know, we just went to Exuma the other day even, you know, and so it's still a work in progress. And as you know, we have more generations coming up. I just had a son and all that. So now we really more inclined to doing these sorts of things. And it's just a beautiful thing. And many other families have their own unique things, right? Mm-hmm. However, this is something from the African perspective that has kind of been lost and taken away from us. Because anything that was deemed, that was seen as African, you understand, was categorized as witchcraft, categorized as obia, things that still are illegal on our law books today, despite the fact that many of us tout that we have religious freedom in the Bahamas, which we don't. We only have religious freedom for those that follow Judaic or Abrahamic religions at the end of the day. Especially if you're dealing with an African religion, you don't have religious freedom. And people have been recently arrested for it as well, but we don't need to delve into that too much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first Roots series, a lot of people familiar with that. A lot of people misunderstand what the Roots series actually is. People then go and they delve into like the history books and they say, oh, well, this wasn't historic. This didn't actually happen and all that. Roots is actually a historical fiction based on the life and the genealogy of a man named Alex Haley.
Yeah.
And historical fiction means that, okay, if I do an historical fiction on the modern Bahamian history, for example, you know, I could make up a fictional character and just place him around the events. So have him as this guy in the Burma Road, right? I could name him Willie Roll, you know?
Yeah.
And if someone go into history and say, oh, well, there ain't no man named Willie Roll do this. That's not the point. It's the historical fiction. But then you draw from other real histories.
Right,
that
it's the things that are happening around him. Right.
Now, one good thing that happened in Roots is they showed you a very powerful rites of passage that didn't really get the traction that I think that the authors were hoping that it would. And, you know, the people, Kunta Kinte, one of the most famous names of a pre-slavery African, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was in what would I guess, present-day Mali, present-day Northwest Africa, right? Among the Mandinka people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has been perversed by the British and perversed in our modern contemporary sense as Mandingo. Right.
Right,
and Mandingo is known as the most machismo of the men. You know, there's even an adult film star who named himself Mandingo. You know, we don't need to get
the connotations.
That.
Are clear.
Right, so the connotations has been skewed and is now mostly sexual.
Yeah,
but it also has to do with a lot of machismo-ness. Even when you look at the region today, and we're talking about masculinity. You understand? For example, in Senegal, which also has a hairy Mandinka population, as well as Wolof, and the Wolof were actually probably the most revolutionary African group on ships, including ships that came here to the Bahamas, one of them being the slave ship Eleanor, where they had a successful revolt, but they didn't kind of know where they was going. They was able to take back the ship. They had the land there in Anagua.
Yeah.
But that coming up in one of my projects that I can let you all know about at the end of the show.
Okay.
Right? But these people, the national sport in that part of Africa is actually something called Lambe, which is wrestling.
Hold on, which is where we get our Bahamian national martial arts from, which is dashing.
Dashing.
Right, that's where you throw the person on the ground and then you run away.
And that's another rites of passage right there.
In culture.
Me and my big brother used to dash. My cousin, all we doing is dashing. No blows, no slaps. And it's the same rule. So in Lambe, on the elite level, they punch in the face. You could go for the knockout. But in the non-competitive, non-professional level, even in the amateur's competitive level, you're not allowed to punch to the face. So it's similar to dashing with your brothers and things.
Yeah.
No blowers, but you're just dashing. Whoever pinned the next one down.
But listen, I want to send a shout out to my cousin LJ, and I want to apologize to you because all this time I thought you was beating me up. But what you really was doing was initiating me into a Bahamian culture and rites of passage.
Bahamian adulthood, let's call it that. And these are all things that we do, right?
And we do a disservice to our young people and our young men who are two things, right? Sort of rambunctious and full of energy and possibly on a genetic level, right? On a DNA level, that's where your body is being told what to do by the code inside you.
Exactly.
Right?
You can't take the Africa out. The Africans, you know, right. Even the way we dance and the way we move, right? Now, back to the Mandinka people.
Okay, hold on, just before you go there.
Right.
So to the Ministry of Education, now that means maybe we should explore including wrestling in our sports curricula as a cultural thing, but also possible solution to deal with all of this energy these great young boy them have. Back to the Mandinka people.
But man, see, you got, I love what you just say just now. In my opinion, you know, I mean, I grew up doing Shotokan karate pretty much all my childhood. And I love combat sports. I'm a big fan of the UFC, despite its political shortcomings at times, right? We know. But right now, they have three West African champions, Francis Ngannou from Cameroon, who recently registered a punch that's even stronger than Mike Tyson's punch. Because this all ties into African masculinity. See, I talk about the aspects of masculinity that I know we like to hear, but the parts that we know, you know, you're big, you're strong, you're tough, you're protecting. You know, you have another man named Kamaru Usman, who is an Igbo from Nigeria. One of the biggest ethnic groups to come to the Bahamas. And then you have my personal favorite, Israel Adesanya, who is this nerdy, skinny black fella, like anime, like all these things. He's be around the place dancing and laughing, but play with him and take him for light. And these men are...
Say that name again.
Israel Adesanya.
Adesanya.
Yeah, he's a Yoruba.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a Yoruba. And these men are not your stereotypical examples. These men are all in their own right, fantastic examples. Francis Ngannou, he's big, tough, toughest man arguably that's ever lived.
Yeah.
You know, registered a punch stronger than Mike Tyson. You up there, pretty plain and simple.
Yeah.
And this man is just so humble. He you know, understand, he came from a mining town, mining because minerals for these Europeans and made it all the way to be the world heavyweight champion.
Because
you know?
The real test of the maturity and the masculinity is not your ability to unleash it.
Right.
It's your ability to control it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Awesome. But look here. So why I'm so excited about this is because I've been trying to think about how to have a conversation about what happened last week, a week and a half ago, when those three young men were detained by citizens, right?
Right, right.
And assaulted.
Right.
Right? And then released.
Right.
And how maybe if we had clear, authentic rites of passage, not only would those young men be on a different path, but our communities would have different ways and different methods of dealing with conflict within the community.
Right.
Right? And I had a caller tell me, oh, Aaron, don't laugh, because I talked about the Tom and Jerry gang, right? And
right.
And at the moment, I thought it was very important for people to understand that we cannot tolerate this violence against women and vulnerable people. We just cannot tolerate it. But at the same time, adults need to operate with maturity, right? And critical thinking. And what they did to those young men is still not acceptable. But it ain't about blame, right? It has to be about solutions. And I think if we can create a space where young black men could have conversations that feel more authentic to their lived experiences, then they would have a better time opening up, growing self-esteem and self-confidence, which are where the root of their personal issues lie.
For sure. And you hit the nail right on the head. The only thing I'll add to that from a historical standpoint, and this is where our history parallels with everybody else in the diaspora, being in the United States. That's where it's the most evident. That's where it's the most, the videos go the most viral, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
But one similarity that we all share is the history of the relationship between the African community and law enforcement. Just like law enforcement in the United States, the law enforcement in the Bahamas has its origins in the West India regiments. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These West Indian regiments, what were their roles? Their roles were to keep white supremacist policies in check.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not blaming the Africans that would have joined the West Indian regiment, because you have to remember that in this genocide, we were all in survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in acute survival mode, ain't no morality, ain't no, oh, I know that. No, you just trying to protect you and your family.
Yeah.
Right? But These men were the ones, when you run away from your plantation, they was the one that go and catch you. And so this mistrust isn't from nowhere. They ain't like, oh, why the people who are living over here, they don't trust the police. You know, and then you even have the extreme examples, the slogans that came out in the early 90s that I'm not allowed to say on the air and all of these things. So
yeah.
A part of that mistrust is deeply rooted in our history. But at the same time, you know, that is where some of the blame is kind of attached, because some people feel like, well, we got to make sure this justice served, because we ain't sure.
We don't trust
that justice
the system.
Can get served. And we
and
we
even
don't
outside,
even
look here.
Outside
of
the Bahamas is true too.
Yeah, and I was going to say, right. Outside of the sort of mm-hmm. racial and colonial context,
right.
We don't trust that our government systems will
Brilliant.
Work.
Thank you.
It ain't even about the people.
Right.
We know that systems don't work. And Thank many you. People are tired of not getting justice and feeling
right.
like they had justice in their hands
right.
and it just slipped away.
And then particularly in a case like this, where I heard that a sexual assault or a rape or something of
right.
that nature was involved, you know. Now, this is where the issue gets complex, because honestly, I'll speak quite frankly. If I walk in past and I saw that, my first reaction will try to be to dissipate the situation, you know.
Yeah.
But then when I would have heard the crimes that they would have commit, you understand? Even if I would have still felt to be like, but y'all should leave them alone, I would have been in so much fear to be like, instead of be like, oh, well, you defending this rapist, right?
Yeah.
But then, see, it's very complex. But then on the other side of it, in my opinion, in the modern context, you know, and of course, many women would not agree, but from a masculine context, true masculinity has a lot to do with protecting the vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And in those situations like that, that is where women are very vulnerable. And for me, you know, I teach modern day slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate when people say things like, you know, prostitution is the oldest profession. You know, it just shows you how deeply entrenched these anti-women sentiments are that
mm-hmm.
come from men like Aristotle, who are considered some of the wisest men that ever lived. Yet the sexist connotations and undertones and overtones of their thought is not even acknowledged.
Yeah.
So yes, it's the wisest man. What? Woman is three-fourths of a man? That gotta be true. Don't forget now, this is the wisest man that ever
yeah,
lived.
Yeah.
And it goes very deeply, and this is, you know, and men have to understand that, but then on the flip side, women have to also understand with men too, because, you know, we so strong, we so much stronger, we so masculine, but who committing suicide the most? You know, we, so obviously we have these deeply seated, pent up things that, of course, in my opinion, as people may well know, and I believe that it's factual, that much of this is the inherited trauma from slavery and colonization, and then also the not that every aspect of a patriarchy is bad, but in the context of what we're speaking about, you know, you a tough man, you ain't supposed to be coddled, you know, you're not supposed to show emotion, you're
mm-hmm.
not supposed to cry. You know, I see people telling little boys all the time, oh, you was a boy, why are you crying so much? You know,
yeah.
and all these little things, you know, and so we conditioned not to be able to ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, and then we also have that stigma with mental health. You know, if you got to take a couple of pills so you keep calm every day, oh, you crazy.
Yeah.
You understand? And so it's a very, very complex issue. But in that regard to what was happening at the end of the day, it was wrong. But if we also had a better relationship and these historical facts were acknowledged, you know, I believe that when you're training for a police officer, you know, just for an example, throwing it out there, you know, you teach them that the role that police officers played right up until independence, because that's what it was. They were on the side, generally speaking,
yeah.
of the colonizer.
Yeah.
You know, and these are facts. You can't get around that.
And
it's even still in their address. It's still in their name. When you go there and you look at the pyramid, who is at the top of the pyramid? Queen Elizabeth II.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna call her what I call her on
That's
air,
my cousin.
But
listen, don't talk like, no, for real. There's a...
You know I gotta laugh,
listen,
right?
Listen, you're gonna laugh, right? Because I got plenty cousins today that don't talk to me. So that
Trust
ain't a
me,
big deal,
that
right?
The royal family get I am in disagreement with you. They get family all over
yes,
the Caribbean.
The art of war.
But they ain't claiming y'all.
No, you don't watch nothing. They don't need to claim me. But when I come for my things, buddy.
Right then, right.
When I come for my things,
well, we can talk
it better
that
be
too.
There.
Right.
You know, I want to go to a break just quickly. But before
mm-hmm.
I do, let me say this. When people are traditionally locked out of justice...
Right.
Right? Like, in a culture, I need this, is very important, where we solve problems with money.
Yeah.
Right? even problems that should go before the courts. In a culture where we solve problems with money, lots of people get locked out of justice.
Yep.
Right? And when traditionally or your whole life, all you see and witness is people getting locked out of justice, then you devise your own systems of justice.
Right?
And so, like you say, we got to be very careful how we assess the situation, because at the end of the day, I may be blaming somebody for something I am ultimately responsible for or complicit in.
Right. And see, that's what we have to have that communal mindset.
Uh-huh.
And when we look at criminals, and of course, you have the most heinous of the heinous, and we are all humans. And so we live in this community. So naturally, we have anger and disdain for people that make our community unsafe. That's completely understandable. But you have to remember that we are a community. All of us fail that little boy. All of these people who are criminals today used to be innocent babies, and nothing is more innocent than a child or a baby.
Yeah.
Despite how much they might misbehave and all, they still innocent.
Yeah, despite how their parents don't care about migration laws.
Right, exactly.
They still innocent.
Exactly, you know what I mean? Despite what nation they come from, if they grow up in Shantytown or not, you know, but we got to do the Haitian xenophobia show another time.
And
that can be a hard one. But,
so look here, I got a quick break. I have a message that I need to share with my listening audience from the Ministry of Finance. Let's pause for a financial minute. Did you know the new Public Finance Act 2021 will focus on improving transparency of public finance and the governance arrangements for public entities? This new law comes into effect July 1st, 2021. This financial minute has been brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Also, in case you miss it, the Real Property Tax Forgiveness Program has been extended. The offer now ends August 31st, 2021. And Bahamian property owners can now take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways. Bring your account to zero or get a payment plan. Foreigners can also receive a 100% waiver on surcharge. For further information, email rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs or call 225-5778. This is a toll-free message, and this message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. So listen, don't slunk, because how are you going to protect our mango trees if you lose your property? How are you going to build your empire? More importantly, how are you going to build your empire and your legacy if you don't have a piece of land to pass on to your children, right? And that's another one of those rites of passage that I think have become very dangerous in this town. That you ain't a man until you have your own place to live.
Right, yeah. See, and then all these things add. See, and that's the pressure that men feel in society, you know, because we are pressured to be the provider. You know, and it's telling that over 70% of our households are headed by women, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us have this problem, and it eats away at a lot of men. They may not want to admit it or not, you know, but when you can't provide for your family, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that's probably unfathomable to certain people. And that's why you see so many men commit suicides behind not being able to pay bills, behind falling into serious debt and things of that nature. You know, and of course, it's not saying that one group is mentally stronger than the other group, or one group is fit. It's not even about that. You know,
no.
It's about knowing our differences, appreciating our differences, understanding them, and then...
And it's about the unrealistic expectations of masculinity in a capitalist society.
Right, you know.
And just so this whole idea that you ain't man until you have your own place to live.
Right.
But guess what? That is a misnomer. That's a dirty, dirty lie. Let me tell you something. Because when you leave your parents' house, you're either paying rent or you're getting a mortgage.
Yep.
And guess what that means? You ain't man until you pay off that mortgage.
So most of us ain't man until we over 60.
And that's a part of the problem. I think that's a part of the problems that we are seeing mm-hmm. now, that society gives men these mixed messages about their identity and who they are. Right. Use man when you turn 16 and you have your first sexual encounter.
Right.
Use man when you, the first time you dominate somebody and beat them
beat
up,
them
right?
Up, right.
Mm-hmm. Use man when you have your first child, whether you could pay for it or house it or clothe it or not, right? Right? And these men are sitting here being wounded left, right, and center right. with nothing to sort of grasp onto.
Right.
And I want to say this. For those who are going to turn around and say, but the Christian church is there for men, I want to say, yes, okay, yes, you have been there. For lots of men, you have provided a space for men to be able to redefine or find their identity, right? But what about the people who don't identify as Christian? These young men are now left in a society that tells them, oh, you ain't no man, and you's a heathen. You just can't be no upstanding man because
right.
you don't go to church. Right? We put these things on these young people. I got a text here that says, just as we're closing out the show, please note that all males are not women and all females are... Oh, not... I think they meant to say, please note all males are not men mm-hmm. and all females are not women, right?
Yeah.
And what I take from that
you
is
you gotta
that,
understand the context of
right,
what they're saying.
But I think what they're saying is just because you reach a high age don't
right.
mean that you have
okay.
matured.
Right, that's the same thing I was saying, right?
Right.
And I understand that exactly, you know, and I think that's because, like Aaron pointed out, some of the unrealistic standards that go both ways, you understand? We well aware of the, like, fix, just to throw something out there, the physical standards that were created for women, the unrealistic ones, the whole controversy with the Barbie dolls and how it skewed women's reality
yeah.
of how they should look, right? And then, of course, you know, not to touch on something too sensitive, I hope anyone too young listening, but you look again at the adult film industry.
Right.
And then you look at masculinity over there. All the fellas, them, you know.
Yeah.
Walking around with three legs.
And we see one of the effects of that
right.
is this new culture they call incels, right?
Thank you very much. What is some of the biggest selling drugs in the world right now? Viagra, Cialis.
Male
enhancement. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it shows you, you know, even in these little Chinese corner stores, they get all kind of
yeah
12 different types of sex pills and stuff
so,
you know.
This isn't just rooted in a modern capitalism or neocolonialism. This
right.
is rooted in an old school imperialism
right. big
that
time.
Go way, way back.
Yeah.
Well, listen,
yeah.
there's some big words. Chris, we got to end the show right here. I see Mr. Levon Miller has come into the studio. That means it's time for Unleashed. You got to let that energy out.
Right.
I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you know you're going to be back. So just tell the fam,
yeah,
make space. Because I think men need to hear other men talking about these issues.
Then we can get into the African spirituality next show.
Yeah.
That's where we can get to a lot of the root, in my opinion, of some of these issues that we're facing too.
And Juneteenth, right?
Right, Juneteenth.
And how some of our European descent brothers and sisters have developed and maintained
mm-hmm.
Rites of passage.
Right.
I'm looking specifically to my Spanish Wells by them, right?
Yeah,
who,
right.
You could see their community,
mm-hmm.
right, is structured
right.
and in a sustainable way.
Right.
That has to be down to these communal, personal, and familial practices, right?
Yeah.
And intergenerational relationships.
Right.
Anyway, we all out of time. Thank you so much. Thank you for sitting in for Mango Madness on my 100th show. It's been a wonderful time. I hope I gave you all, my audience, all the answers you needed. Have a great day and don't eat too many mangoes. Getting the belly is real. Have a great day, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.